Grant, O Lord, that we may see the Lord Jesus Christ and love him more, for his name's sake. Amen. We're very few tonight. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah 6. Verses 12 and 13. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. This is a chapter on how God rules the earth, and how God is going to save it by one man. And it starts off with the chariots driving north, south, east and west. And what it shows there very clearly indeed is that the nations are not under man's control, but they're under God's control. And it ends up that the Lord's Spirit is quieted about the whole earth. And that means that God is perfectly at peace because he has the victory. He has the victory over the nations even at this moment. Nothing more remains to be done. Now, having put aside the sinners, he then turns to the saints. And this is a little caravan that's come in from Babylon to the exiles. And the exiles are struggling. They're in trouble. And this is what he says. The word of the Lord, verse 99, came unto me, saying, Take them of the captivity, even of Heldiah, of Tobijah, of Jediah, that are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. You couldn't translate it, but all those four men's names come before the verse saying that they've come from Babylon. So it's the whole four of them have come from Babylon. Now obviously Josiah the son of Zephaniah is the leader of them, and obviously they're godly men, because nearly all the names here are godly names. These men have come bringing gifts to the poor exiles. Now ungodly men, whatever they prat about, don't give their money away in any hurry to poor people and to those in need. Now these names, you see, you've got here first of all the great one, Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Now Josiah means the Lord supporteth, and Zephaniah means the Lord hideth. And then you come to Heldai. Well, that's Heldai, it's a CH or KH noise, and it means not like the others, but possibly it means the Lord's world. Perhaps this man isn't quite the same as the others. Now, Tobijah means the Lord is good. And Jediah means God knoweth or God careth for. So, and if you go down to the end, to verse 14, there's a man called Hen there, the son of Zephaniah, and that means the gracious one. So these men had names that marked them out as godly. Now there's a complete cut come in the chapter. God deals with the godly when he's building up the earth. And God just controls the others. He controls them with a tight rein. And all that they're shouting and yelling about is only what he intends shall be done. The rest will go to the pot. So there's the picture. We've got these wonderful people. Now, they've come, and the prophet is told to ask gold from them and silver. Then take silver and gold. He's got to ask for it and make crowns. Now, there's a plural crowns, but it can be the plural, meaning a very magnificent crown. You see, the words for God, Elohim, always has a singular attached to it, a singular verb or a singular pronoun. And so the plural, this is an OT plural in Hebrew, can mean something magnificent. And that's probably excellence is the idea of the crowns. And also, they're in the realm of the sacred. We've moved out of the realm of this wicked world, and God, seen God ruling it from above, and now we see this coming. And then these crowns are to be magnificent. So they're to be as magnificent as possible. Here then are these wonderful crowns to be set up, and upon the head of Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest. But you see, all these crowns combine into one crown. They don't combine into half a dozen crowns, and they're all one. What do they mean, these crowns? Why is God setting up his government over the world and crowning a man? It seems a very odd process indeed. Well, they're a royal crown. This is what the word we get tiara from. And this is a royal crown. It's not the crown of the priests. The crown of the priests was a nezer. And a nezer, and a Nazarene, means someone who's anointed to the priesthood. That's a different crown. This is crowns, but it's the royal crown. So God is saying, I rule the world through the priesthood. Through this priest of Israel, I rule the world. Now, what does he mean, that he rules the world through this? Well, remember that they should have gone to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the man who led the exiles back. And do you know Zerubbabel was the last leader of Israel of David's line? And when Zerubbabel died, David's line went into a dried up mess. It disappeared until it appeared again through Joseph and Mary. It was just a stump. Now God has a reason for bypassing this Zerubbabel and putting him on the head of Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest. Why is it that he's chosen a high priest like this? Well, you see, let's make it quite clear. The high priest, what does he denote? Well, look at chapter 3 and verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I'll bring forth my servant the branch. Now, here in chapter 6 verse 12, thus, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, a man whose name is the branch. Now, it's a very cryptic sentence. It lacks the word thee, and it lacks the word a, and it has just four words to it. And they are lo, man, shoot, name. That's all there is. Lo, man, shoot, name. And you have to manufacture the rest. And the reason is, God is always clipped in his words. He never wastes words. And he is saying that Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, there is coming to help him a man called a branch. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Now, if you look back at 4:9, who built the temple of the Lord? The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. So then when he says that he's laying the crowns on the head of the high priest, he is also laying them on this Zerubbabel. Because Zerubbabel is the one who built the temple. Now, if he's saying all that, what does he mean by it? Well, what does he mean by it? Why does he call Joshua a branch? Well, the first reason God rules the world by this priest is fruitfulness. Now, our world is in absolute panic about fruitfulness. And they all feel that the world's falling down around them, and they'll put it right today at Copenhagen. And I'll guarantee you about 2/3 of pulpits talk about Copenhagen. Let it be. It's nothing to do with us, and I don't believe that it'll get them anywhere. Now, Isaiah chapter 4 verse 2, and you'll see much more light than the whole of that conference will ever produce. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. So then, what he's teaching is this, that his way is fruitfulness and beauty, and that the Lord expects this fruit to be the result of his choosing this high priest. Now, that's something very strange. And he goes on. Look in chapter 4, verse 2. And it shall come to pass, at verse 3, that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment, and the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, a cloud of and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for all the glory shall be a defense. So you see, what he's teaching here is that through this high priest, he will cleanse the temple of the Lord. He will cleanse Jerusalem. He will cleanse the church of God. Now this is a wonderful promise. So God is saying, I rule the nations, forget them. Take from the godly these presents, put them as a crown, make it yourself, prophet, and that's obviously a parable. Put it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Well, obviously it points to something greater. And immediately, what things men couldn't do come out of it. The whole of Jerusalem is cleansed, the whole place is made holy, and fruitfulness abounds on every side. Now, you can't get that out of putting a crown on the head of Elizabeth or anybody other ruler anywhere. It's something very wonderful God is up to here. Now, let's go on looking at it. You see, Jeremiah chapter 23, that's the one to have a look at. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, and it teaches you more about this branch. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And it goes on to say, the Lord will be named by having brought up the children of Israel from Babylon. Now, what I'm getting at is this, that this branch is the restoration of the work of God on earth. Ruined at the fall, opposed by Satan at every step, this high priest will be the one who restores the work. So you turn to Jeremiah chapter 33, and that's verse 15, the other reference to the branch. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So this branch is indeed about a coming Davidic king. And it's a clear statement that David's line is to be restored by this branch, not through Zerubbabel, who is dying out, but through a high priest who Joshua the son of Jozadak represents. And this righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, will be the name of this high priest. So you see, it's the clearest indication in the whole Old Testament that Jesus is king and priest. You couldn't have it clearer. Therefore, the words of these verses are fought over by scholars. They do not like the idea that Jesus is mentioned here, but it's absolutely clear. This is a prophecy of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the priest king, and that is what Zechariah 3 was teaching. I will bring forth my servant the branch. And he has clearly everything it takes to restore the earth. This branch is in Isaiah chapter 11, and it's worth a look at, Isaiah 11 verse 1. And it says there about the branch these words: "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So then this branch is a man. There's no doubt about it. And he has the qualities of a good and righteous judge. Now, there's no doubt this is our Lord Jesus Christ, our priest and king, and he has a royal priesthood. And so it says, he shall build the temple of the Lord, in verse 12, verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord. You want to see the scholars, how they shoot off in all directions to try and get round that and say somebody added it here, or it's about Zerubbabel one half and the other half about Josedek. They try any way to get round it. But the truth is, it's about a greater than Joshua, the son of Josedek. It's wonderful. Now, at this branch then, you see, Zerubbabel has to die off. His stump has to dry out. It seems an impossibility from the Davidic line to get anyone. And from Mary, and from Joseph, or Joseph not really, but he is the earthly guardian father, from them comes the branch, the righteous branch, the beautiful branch, the fruitful and godly branch, the branch that turns Jerusalem to holiness and washes away the filth and takes righteousness. This is a wonderful prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ as the great, great King. Now, there's something wonderful here. It is this. It says, he shall bear the glory. Now that means he'll bear the kingly rule, the majesty. And it also has the idea, that word glory, of beauty in it. It's used elsewhere of the beauty of the olive tree. And it's also used of the strength and the vigor of a man. And it's used of the strength of a horse. So the idea is that this branch has something very wonderful, vigorous, strong, and unstoppable in it. This branch is splendid. So then, here we have our Lord Jesus Christ as king and as priest. And he shall sit and rule upon his throne. That's king. Couldn't be clearer. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. That couldn't be clearer. And the council of peace shall be between them both, so that he, as king and priest, is united in one. This unites two offices which God stopped them uniting. You see, the nations round Israel had a wicked idea. They had the idea that they worshipped fertility. And fertility involved the king being the priest and carrying out certain disgusting rites every year to try and restore the fertility. What they believed was that the earth grew up and came to life with the rains. It fruited and then it dried off. And it died again round about October, November time before the rains. And then you had all these complicated ceremonies by the king priest to restore its life to it. And then it came round. They really worshipped sex. That's what they really did. And God told his people to have nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. That's why he was set against Baal worship. That's why he went for Uzziah the king. When Uzziah dared to go in and sacrifice in the temple, God was not going to have that happen. That the king and priest became one. Even David wasn't allowed just to sacrifice as he would. I know he did give some, offer some sacrifices, but he certainly was never the priest. That was held by a line, and he couldn't take it. There's a difference, but here God combines them. Here is this safe combining of both. Now, I think that's just the most wonderful prophecy there is. Do you know the other place in the Old Testament where it speaks of Jesus as our high priest? Psalm 110, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek in verse 4. That's the other place where Jesus is before us as a priest. But here is the place where, well, he's king and priest there. This is the clear statement that Jesus is king and priest. And I want you to remember that, because we have a king in heaven. He's ruling the nations with a rod of iron even now. And he's turning us to righteousness. And he's cleansing Jerusalem. And he's making us holy. And his beauty and his glory shine out through the whole world. His majesty is eternal and perfect. And this one has a spiritual priesthood. He exercises his priesthood in heaven, so that there is intercession, so that there is eternal sacrifice there, the blood of the Lamb. So that there is in heaven a high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, who bore human flesh like us and loves us and cares for us and is prepared to bow down to us in our sin and lift us up and make us kings and priests to God. Therefore I say, you are a king, you are a priest, and you are kings and priests to God forever and ever. We reject the papacy and its priests. We reject all priests of all religions. We have nothing to do with these things. What we accept is Jesus is that, and we are all priests and kings together. That is the most wonderful teaching the Bible has. That teaching brought about the Great Reformation, when we reckon that some 3 million people in Europe found the Lord, or the Lord found them. There was a tremendous work of God done in the Reformation, and it came about by this idea having been grasped again of the king and priest. Now, you think about it. You make it your life's work for this next week to just think about Jesus as my king and my priest. You remember Revelation 19, on his head are many crowns. And you remember, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. That's our high priest. Amen. The